Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. We're talking this month all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the importance as far as the gospel is concerned and the importance to our everyday lives. The resurrection really is everything. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christianity doesn't exist. Our faith doesn't exist. We're still lost, dead in our sins. But with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, everything changes. We go from death to life. We can live a whole new life through faith in this resurrected one. And one of my favorite verses is in John chapter 5:24. And it's a verse that talks about a crossover. What happens to us when we receive Jesus Christ? And here's what Jesus said. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed or crossed over from death to life." So I love this verse because it really simplifies the gospel message for us. We have a lot of needs. We have a lot of felt needs. But at our deepest level, our need is for life. Why? Because you and I come into this world dead spiritually. We're separated from God. We have no spiritual life in and of ourselves. And that's why we feel restless. That's why we feel empty inside. That's why life just doesn't work for us. And then we come to an understanding of the good news of Jesus, the fact that he died to take away our sins, to release us from the power of sin and death, that he was buried, putting an end to that old way of life, and then he was raised so that we too could be raised to the newness of life. And so when that gospel hits our heart, when it really connects deep within us, something happens to us. And according to this verse, we cross over from death to life. That's the good news of the gospel. So many people think that it's merely forgiveness, that Christ died on the cross so that we could receive forgiveness of sins. Well, that's just one third of the story if you read the full story. The story is the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. So all of those have meaning to us, and it's the resurrection that really puts the exclamation point on the story itself, the fact that Jesus Christ came that we might have life. So anyone who hears the word of Jesus, who believes the word of Jesus, is going to experience that crossover. They're going to go from death to life. I tell you, when I found out that good news, everything changed for me. I had come to Christ as a kid at a youth camp, and I was moved by a depiction of the crucifixion of Jesus. It was so powerful and so real. It captivated my mind and my heart like nothing I had ever experienced before in life. And I knew at that moment that I needed Jesus. I needed the forgiveness that he provided. It was my first grace moment. And God loved me so much that he showed me what I really needed in Christ. But I just heard that it was all about forgiveness. I didn't understand that Christ at that moment had made me alive in him. And so I struggled to really try to figure out what this Christian life was all about. And finally, like 8 or 9 years later, I started hearing about the life of Jesus Christ, a passage in Colossians that says that we've been made alive in Jesus. And then this passage in John 5:24, and everything changed for me. Everything about this Christian life changed because I knew that I had been made alive. I had crossed over from death to life, and that Christ had come to live inside of me. That changes the game for everyone. So if you're struggling out there as far as understanding the Christian life, frustrated with trying to live it out through human effort, and you're not experiencing what you think you should experience, I think you should take a fresh look at this verse in John chapter 5, verse 24, and recognize that salvation is much bigger than you may have ever thought, that it's actually receiving the life of Christ, crossing over from death to life. That's what makes this story such good news, such powerful news, such a game changer, because we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. So if you have questions about that today, want to know more information about this gospel message and why it's good news for you, we certainly invite your call to Basic Gospel today. Richard?
Yeah, that phone number is 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. Lines are wide open right now. We invite you to call us. Want to remind you, actually we want to thank you for the way you support this ministry. Every dollar you give goes to the proclamation of this message you just heard Bob talking about. And people's lives are changed. This is true ministry. You're doing it. We're doing it with you together because it's the Holy Spirit who's leading us. And if you can see your way clear to help us out this month, please give. You can go to basicgospel.net and press the donation button there. You can also call the same number I just gave you, 844-322-2742. And this month, as our thanks for your gift, we're giving away a copy of Bob's series called Resurrection Power, taking the reality of the resurrection and the power that's represented there, applying it to our lives on a day-to-day basis. There is nothing more practical. This is not heavy theology. This is practical living in Christ by the power of his resurrection. Get it today by calling 844-322-2742 or going online to basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we've got an email question here from a person named Janie, who has a question regarding the resurrection and how it was different for Jesus than us. We are taught that when we die, our souls go to heaven, but our earthly bodies stay in the grave or are cremated, destroyed, etc. But Jesus' earthly body did not stay in the grave. The tomb was empty. I have always wondered about this discrepancy between what happens to our bodies and what happened to his.
Well, what happened to his is a foreshadowing of what's going to happen to ours. I mean, we're going to get resurrected bodies that are exactly like the resurrected body that Jesus received. So when he came into this world, he was born under the law, and therefore he was subject to sin and death. Now, he did not sin. He lived a perfect life, but he offered his body as that sacrifice to take away the sin of the world. And so, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin, that's Jesus, became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So when Jesus took upon himself the sin of the world, he died. And in dying, he took away the sin of the world. So that's the good news. Now, they took that body off of the cross, and they laid that body in a borrowed tomb. And that body was in that tomb for 3 days. And then on the third day, that body was raised back to life. And that body that was once subject to sin and death changed the body of Jesus Christ. So the perishable put on the imperishable. It became an immortal, indestructible body. So that is kind of the first fruits, and that is symbolic of what we're going to receive at that day of resurrection. So when Christ comes back, when he reveals himself again, those who are asleep in Christ, they are going to be raised. They're going to receive a new body. Those who remain or are here when Christ comes back, then they're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 15. It's the great resurrection chapter. And it's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's also about the physical resurrection of our bodies. So right now, we've been raised spiritually to walk in the newness of life. We've been given the Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing our eternal inheritance, and guaranteeing that when Christ is revealed, that we too are going to receive resurrected bodies, bodies that are going to live forever. So Jesus' resurrection is our hope for the resurrection of our own bodies. So even though our bodies go into a grave and they decay and they return to dust, at some point Jesus is going to call them out. They're going to be changed. We're going to get resurrected bodies, brand new bodies. That is the hope of the gospel. Now, a lot of people kind of push that aside and don't really think too much about the physical aspects. You know, there are a lot of folks that just say Jesus was a spiritual being, that he had no physical body. Well, if that's the case, then there is no good news. There is no gospel. He came and he became one of us. He put on our flesh and blood. He tasted death for us, and that body was raised back to life, guaranteeing that we too will be raised just as he was.
Yeah, that is truly good news. We've got a question here, another email question from Dave. I listen to your show through the podcast and appreciate your ministry. I've been following Jesus for about 8 years, but am struggling mightily right now. For some reason, I'm feeling condemnation for something I did years ago when I made an irreverent comment about communion in the body of Christ. I wonder about the unpardonable sin. It's weighing on me. Through the grace of God, after years of being a wretched sinner, I'm grateful that my heart wasn't hardened, and I do believe in Jesus' finished work on the cross. That being said, I'm dejected, concerned, anxious, and depressed about this. I'd like to be an effective Christian, but not sure how to get past my past.
That's a great question.
It is.
I think a lot of people feel the same way, and maybe they haven't done the same thing that this person has. Maybe they haven't said something specifically against you know, the Lord's Supper or whatever it was that he exactly said. Maybe they did something else that they feel guilt and shame for. And that's really where we need to come to grips with exactly what Christ accomplished for us on that cross. Back in the Old Testament, under the law, they offered sacrifices day after day after day. And then there was an annual sacrifice, the Day of Atonement. And that covered the sins of the people, all the sins that had been committed for that previous year. The bad news about that is the next day the sin started adding up again. And so they had to wait a whole nother year before that Day of Atonement could happen. So those sacrifices didn't do what the people had hoped that they would do. They didn't cleanse the conscience. And that's what the book of Hebrews teaches us, that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ cleanses the conscience. And what that means is that we realize that Jesus took the punishment that we justly deserve, that the condemnation, the judgment, the punishment fell on him, and it was totally complete. And when we understand that, that cleanses this heart and gives us the freedom to enjoy a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. So how do we get over our past? Well, we take a fresh look at the cross of Jesus Christ. We recognize that the blood that was shed there, the sacrifice of his life, was sufficient. There's nothing else that we can do. I know for me, I know this is true for you, Richard, and for so many people. When I first came to Christ, I was so happy to know that Christ had died for my sins. But then I started sinning, and the temptations of the world just were too much for me to handle as a teenager and a college kid. And boy, I wanted to be God's guy. And I was trying the best that I knew how to be God's guy. But sin was too much for me. And I kept giving in time and time again. And every time I did, I felt the weight of that on my shoulders. I felt guilty. I felt condemned. And so I would cry out to God, Lord, please cleanse me. Please forgive me. And then after a while, I started praying, Lord, please come back into my life. So I was letting the sins cloud my vision as to what this gospel message had done. So we have to say, Lord, you're bigger than my sin. You've done something that is much more valuable than my sin. It was so valuable, it took it away once and for all. And in this new covenant, it is remembered no more. So if that's the case, if God chooses to remember our sins no more, then we need to do the same. We need to recognize that Jesus has already judged it, has already condemned it, and the penalty has already been paid for it. And so knowing that, we can look at what we've done in the past and we can say, Lord Jesus, thank you. Today and from this day forward, I'm going to thank you for the blood that you shed that made me holy, that made me perfect, that made me acceptable in your sight, that gave me the very righteousness of Jesus Christ himself. So if you can begin to look at the cross and to say thank you, then you're going to see the weight of that guilt and shame start lifting, and you're going to be able to experience joy and to have confidence in your relationship with Christ. So look at the cross, look at what Christ accomplished there, and come to this point where you are resting in what he's done. And the great verse is this: if you're in Christ, Romans 8:1 says this, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. So that's how we get over our past. We take a look at the cross.
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of those things that finally dawned on me after so many years of struggle, is that every sin I had ever committed or ever would commit was in the future when Jesus died. And if his work to be completed was an eternal work, then I was cleansed. I was forgiven. I was declared holy in his sight just by accepting him. And that went an awful long ways. Like you said, you look at Jesus and what he has accomplished. That's what begins to turn the corner. Now, it sounds strange sometimes, but the only way to stop sinning is to quit focusing on sin. You have to focus on Jesus, because only his power can take care of that. We've got another question here about this past, present, future thing. If we are 100% forgiven, all sins, past, present, and future, and no longer judged for sins committed after we accept Christ, what is the meaning of chastisement found in Hebrews 12:5-6? The analogy given is of a father disciplining his son for his own good, which would seem to suggest that Christ imputes chastisement or discipline on believers. Would this have to do with sinful choices made by believers having negative life consequences? That's from Paul.
Boy, that's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, one of the things about this passage in Hebrews chapter 12 is he says that, a father disciplines his son because he loves his son. And in the same way, God disciplines us because he loves us. And he considers us his children. So the very fact that he disciplines us is reassuring. It's assurance of salvation, that we truly belong to God. He's interested in us. He cares for us. He wants us to enjoy a relationship with him. And so this discipline is bringing us to that point where we can more freely enjoy the love that God has for us. Now, this word discipline isn't a bad word. It's not a negative word. It's a very positive word. It's the same word that we would use for disciple. Well, what is a disciple? It's a learner. What is someone who disciplines us? It's someone who is teaching us.
Yes.
And the result of that teaching, as the writer of Hebrews says, is a harvest of righteousness. So this isn't a negative thing. This is a positive thing. Now, what is the, type of discipline that we receive? And the writer of Hebrews says it's hardships. So in this world, we're going to experience tribulation. In this world, we're going to experience trials and temptations and all sorts of things. The world is going to exert pressure on us to try to conform to the patterns of this world. Those are the hardships that we experience. Sometimes we get a phone call and, the spouse says, I just went to the doctor and I had this diagnosis. And it's a kick in the gut. You wonder, how in the world are we going to get through this? Or something happens to a child and you say, how in the world are we going to get through this? Well, it's in those hardships that God teaches us that His grace is sufficient, that He loves us, and that we can depend upon His love and His grace and His mercy in all things. And the end result of that is a harvest of righteousness and a growing in grace and a growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's this relationship that He is disciplining us to enjoy. So there's nothing that we need to fear as far as God's discipline is concerned. We should welcome it. Why? Because, one, it shows us that God loves us. Two, it shows us that God's interested in us. And three, it shows us that He wants the very best for us. He wants our lives to be modeled by this fruit of righteousness. So don't fear discipline. Welcome it. It's going to be your friend throughout your life. We're always going to be learning from God. We're always going to be growing in His love and grace. So welcome this discipline and be excited about what God is going to produce in your life through it.
Yeah, great, great answer. In the last 2 minutes and 20 seconds or so here, one more little question. I hear a lot of pastors state that Christians should ask God to forgive their sin when they commit one. Jesus has already forgiven us, so shouldn't we just confess our sin instead of asking forgiveness? It seems like asking forgiveness means Jesus has to be crucified over and over again. Didn't He say it is finished?
Well, real quickly, somebody's going to sin and they're going to feel guilty for that, and the most common response is, Lord, please forgive me. So we flash that up there, but we never wait for a response. And so if we're going to listen to God and listen for a response, what God is going to tell us and what God is going to teach us and what God is going to inform us of is that in Christ you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness that you are seeking from me today, you already have in Christ. And you step back and you say, really? I didn't know that. And said, well, that's why I'm teaching you, because you need to know. I don't want you to beg for something you already have in Christ. The blood has been shed. The punishment has been paid. When you receive the Lord, you received forgiveness of sins. And so as you listen to the Lord, as you listen to the Spirit teach you about the finished work of Christ, when you sin in the future, your response to God is going to be different. You're going to have a greater sense of freedom to talk openly with the Lord and say, why did I do this? What was going on inside of me? Help me move forward in faith so I can learn the power of your resurrected life in me.
Well, thank you all for being here, listening to our broadcast, participating with us. Remember, if you'd like to donate, you can call 844-322-2742 or go online to basicgospel.net. And be sure to ask for your copy of Resurrection Power. Remember, tomorrow is a teaching edition. It's going to be a barn burner. So for Bob and Greg and myself, Richard Pfeiffer, have a good afternoon. Bye-bye.